This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Richer than
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day out there, if you know what I mean. The clouds, that liquid sunshine, and always change of pace here, and, you know, with the Vog and... That not smog. Now, we have smog, too, but Vog. And it's just been an absolutely, the last 2 days with the rain and cleaning everything off. And, you know, we've had a lot of Vog working on the leaves of the plants. And so things looking really good. Say, this morning, I'm going to have a really interesting show on we're going to be talking about a monster in the neighborhood, and that monster is in every neighborhood, in every family practically, and friends and what have you. And we're talking about breast cancer. And I have the pleasure of having with me this morning Kumahula Ivalani Sue, and we're hoping to be joined later by Kanoi
Cozumero.
Cozumero.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be talking, and please feel free to call in. I'm leaving the 2 hours up in the air for any of you that have questions. You never know. My interest is that it's just a bad thing anyway, and can be devastating to families, financially, the hardship, and we just don't know, but it's out there, folks. I lost a sister, a young sister, too, breast cancer. It knows no race, no age, no size, no color, no economic status. It can impact us all, and it has in many instances. So with all of that said, 524-1080, feel free to call in and just be a little patient. But we would like to hear your stories or hear if you are experiencing problems or what have you, and I think you could learn a lot. And we're going to be talking about the Bosom Buddies project that Kumuhula Ivalane Sue has undertaken. So it's a major one, and we are in this process hope to, if you inclined to offer any help, volunteerism, financial. She has the Ivalane Foundation. So having said all of that, good morning. Thank you.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Carroll. Thank you so much for having me here in this glorious day. You know, I say glorious for all of you out there because I'm seeing this beautiful sign. It says, prayers change things. And it is important, you know, that today is a special day for me. And the reason why I say that, because every day is a special day for me after being hit twice with cancer, you know, stage three. Every day is a glorious day, and I praise God. We all have to have faith. We have to have faith in our hearts. But you know what? You know, I don't like to make pretend that I am a good Christian. No, I believe in God, and I pray to Him every day. And I just want to reach out to each and every one of you is to just never give up in all that you go through. There is a higher being out there that's looking out for us, Mr. Carroll, and I'm grateful that I was able to beat the cancer twice. Yeah, I had cervical cancer, then it went into breast cancer, and it is a devastating thing, and I want to just reach out and share with each and every one of you whatever level we need to discuss today. So thank you very much, Mr. Carroll, for hosting us.
All righty. And we have Ms. Kanoe
Cozumero. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for joining us. And like I say, 524-1080 is the number. I note that someone's on the phone already. I hope that it is relevant to this conversation. We're not talking about railroads, crooked politicians, or or straight shooters. This morning we're talking about the impact of cancer.
Absolutely. I hope you folks can hear us out there, and feel free to call in whichever way possible. I'm so grateful to Kanoe Cozumero. I call her Tootsie. I mean, she has been such a staunch supporter and a sister in faith, a sister in everything, you know, just to be there right, you know, from the very beginning with me. And that's what we want to share with each and every one of you. Absolutely, sister, and you always do. you know, I love her because she's a go get 'em, no scare 'em kind of woman, and that's what we need here in Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone listening, and thank you very much for tuning in to KWAI. I'm Kanoe Cozumero, and I'm here to
Absolutely. She bared it all, trust me. If you want to Google her, or, you know, we'll have flyers coming out very soon. In fact, today we have it right in front of us. But, you know, she didn't hesitate, and I'll have her share her story after. I gave her a call, and I said, sister, I'm in a bad place right now. And I said, I was diagnosed stage 3 with breast cancer, and I don't know where this is going to take me as far as in my life. But I do have a vision and a passion, and I want to share this with you. And she said, okay, sister, let me know. I mean, what are you going through? And I said, well, I, you know, would like to, you know, my favorite women to come and support me and bear it all. And before I could even finish, she said, "You got me, girl. You know, I'm there 100% for you." And, you know, I called about maybe 10 women personally, and Kanoi sitting right next to me, and we had over what, sister? How many showed up? Absolutely. You know, she was there. She brought her basket full of accessories and, you know, being a great stylist and a great sister as she is. And we didn't hesitate. I mean, the photographer probably saw more bosoms and breasts that he ever wanted to see in a couple of days.
Okay, so in a nutshell, Evelyn is gracious enough to share her personal experience with breast cancer.
At the time she called me, I actually was not involved as far as being a survivor or having cancer. However, I had several family members and a lot of friends who have gone through various types of cancer. But through Evelyn, I was learning so much about how much I didn't know, let alone the community in general here in Hawaii. There's so much that we don't understand or know about how our races here in the islands, we share everything, our cultures. Well, guess what? We share breast cancer.
Absolutely.
And many other types of cancer. And so, yes, when she made the call, I came running. And these lovely women, these magnificent women of Hawaii took it off. And I had the opportunity to dress them with leis, with feathers, with whatever they were comfortable with, given their station, their age, and their commitment, as well as their own personal journey with breast cancer.
And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And that was my healing force. And excuse me if I start crying, because I'm just reliving it, though it's been 9 years now, sister, mm-hmm. right? But when someone come and say, "You got me," and start taking off their clothes, their most precious thing that you could ever own. It's not the jewelry, it's not the beautiful house, or it's not the cars that you drive, or the great job that you have, but your body. And when you can share with someone and say, "Here I am, what can I do for you? Just here I am." And when these ladies, matriarchs of Hawaii, you know, prominent women that came forward to say, "Here we are. We want to make a difference because it's about time." You know, Hawaii women, we never was hila hila or ashamed about our bodies.
No, no. It's not our way to be ashamed of our bodies because we live in the elements. Aside from all of that, we're just taking over your show, aren't
Good.
We?
we loosely use the term show. The goal is not to entertain anyone.
No, it's a real deal here.
It's a real
yeah.
deal. If you don't like it, move on down the dial, because there's somebody out there
that needs to hear this, needs help.
Because I'll tell you my little story. My sister was impacted financially, had no money, and found that she had lumps in her breast, and became nervous and fearful and frightened. Mm-hmm. And become a recluse. And instead of dealing with it or trying, and the resources available just weren't there, and it metastasized, and it presented itself in many forms through the bones and through the hips. And so that's why I felt, and I tried to reach out some months ago to do the same thing, but I didn't get the response. So I want to tell you that I'm thankful that you came in. And because it's a real monster out there, and it impacts lives in no way that we can believe or understand. And so it leaves them, the ones who have experienced breast cancer or have a bout with it.
Yes.
Do they have a caller or something? Like they're making signals out there.
Okay. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Good morning, this is Stacy Martin. Good morning, precious, beautiful Evelani. I just wanted to call in and remind you I love you.
She's
been a tower of strength for me. I was diagnosed young at 32 years old. It was early detection, which was a blessing. But the love of others, the inspiration of Eva Lonnie, reminding me never give up, positive, bold, beautiful, faithful in everything. I'm just so thankful for her. But at the same time, I had a cousin, 33 years old, and unfortunately, she didn't have early detection on her side, and we lost her. Mm-hmm. So, my heart of compassion that I walked out of that experience with is huge, and I just gravitate to Eva Lonnie, to you, for your giving us leadership to take this into our community, you know, beyond these big, maybe, foundations, you know, big, broad foundations that are out there that maybe others are more familiar with. You're here loving us in our community, bringing this into our families here in Hawaii, being there for people like myself, right in my life in the here and now. And I just want to thank you, Eva Lonnie, and the more we can just be out there educating even younger women like myself. Early detection saves lives, but on top of that, never losing hope at all. So I just wanted to call in and tell you, Eva Lonnie, I thank you. I love you. If there's anything I can do, let's keep charging on, because we've got local men and women in our community that don't always, they don't have that hope. They are afraid. They're scared. They feel alone, and nobody in our local Ohana should ever feel like that. So I just wanted to tell you, Belani, thank you. I love you, and count me in to do anything I can to help us touch more lives in hope and faith and love.
And, Stacy, you were diagnosed at 32, and,
yes.
And you were, so the early detection, you attribute that to being successful in contending with this bout of cancer?
Absolutely, because it was caught early. Unlike my cousin at 33, by the time she was diagnosed, she was already terminal.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talk about early detection for some out there that are listening. Can you share with someone that is maybe just yesterday may have learned, or what could someone do to go and seek early detection?
Well,
can
yes.
you explain that process?
Well, for me...
Well, mahalo, Stacy. Just
oh, thank you, Stacy.
You know,
yes,
I don't know if we have to let you go or not, but
no, she can stay as long
good.
As she wants.
Oh,
to.
Oh, great! You know, Stacy, again, thank you. You know, I love you to the moon and back, and reaching out to all the women of Hawaii, and that's what Kanoi and I are doing. You know, and it just brings tears to my eyes because it's just like living it all over again.
Now, early detection. We were talking about that. Many people are afraid, and that fear box is very, very big. And I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking, this is Kanoi. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about men as well as young people,
yes.
children. It is indiscriminate when it comes to sex, you know, gender or age.
Everything, yes.
Everything. It is a disease, period.
If you're a human being, you can be impacted
yeah,
by
absolutely,
it.
That
yes.
is why... Breast Cancer Association of Hawaii, they go out there as well as Queens Medical Center. It's not a commercial, but these are the places that you can go to. You can go online, you can call and ask for help. If you have the slightest inclination that something might be wrong with your body, please, please follow your instincts. And if you go to your doctor and they say, let's watch it, I say, find somebody else. Be proactive. You are your biggest health advocate.
Yes.
And you have to lead your team of doctors and make sure that they give you the answers that you want to know. Do not be afraid. Do not hold back from asking those questions. It's important. It's your life. It's your health. There are people dependent on you that look to you for their strength. So you have to be strong for yourself. Don't be afraid.
That is true.
And
I was diagnosed, you know, I have mammograms every year, and within 1 year, it always was stage 3. But prior before that, they said, oh, we have suspicious, you know, I was going every year,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to watch it and monitor it. And I'd like to say, at that time, I didn't have any kind of health insurance, but I felt that I deserved to pay whatever it cost to get that mammogram, you know, for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I went in, and because I needed to monitor that, you know, my greatest asset is my body. I mean, I'm selfish, Mr. Carroll. I'm selfish. I want to be here for my children, my grandchildren. And at that time, my children were very young, and I needed to do that. And I'm a single parent, like, you know, Kanoi. But what is the greatest gift we can give to our family is but of ourselves and our good health. Mm-hmm. So I made sure to get in and get that mammogram. Same thing like you, Stacey, very young, and you know, you didn't have your beautiful Angelina yet, and you know, but we got to be selfish. And what I mean selfish is for you, because how can we be strong or for others if we're falling apart? So I needed to go in, so they told me I was stage 3, and I'm going, are you kidding me? Because I'm looking in the mirror and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm healthy. That's the reason why I'm sending my children through college and doing everything else. Wasn't paying for health insurance. I didn't have money for health insurance, but I was raking up money to pay for my daughter's, you know, college. Mm-hmm. And then they tell me I'm stage 3. So it was quite devastating for me. It was shocking. And then it was October, and they said, you need to have surgery next week. That's how fast it was.
This is after they telling you for a year or so to just watch it.
Absolutely.
We suspect something,
yes.
But let's just watch it.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, within 1 year, it went to stage 3. So you never know.
So that's why you suggest being vigilant.
Oh,
and
totally.
Being aggressive and not being passive.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and for me, you know, when I was growing up, and I'm sure Kanoi too, you know, our parents, as loving as they are, they don't tell you to touch your body, you know,
right.
or get, if you see any or feel any kind of lumps. And now I'm just telling any female that I know, or know your body. Anything that is that's coming out, know your body and check it right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is like Kanoi said. I mean, even financially, if you don't have the monies,
mm-hmm.
There are outreach programs that will help you, and there's facilities that you know you can go to. You just need to do your research and to be diligent, because your body is your temple, you know, and it's really, really important to take care of Malama Kikino, to take care of your body, mm-hmm. right, Kanoi?
Is there anyone that can give counseling? Let's say a young lady. Doesn't have to be married, or she's married and with a child, starting off life young, and she discovers a problem. Is there anyone that help counsel? Is there an organization that provide that? Because to get over that fear, because all of a sudden you've been hit with this problem, how do you deal with it psychologically and all that you suspect you're going to lose?
Well, I think that depending on where you live, within various communities, there are community centers, health centers. For example, in the Waianae Coast, mm-hmm. Waianae Comprehensive Coast Center, it is amazing how well they have pulled all the resources together to be able to have a place that Hawaiians, for example, can go in, or people of that community can
yes.
go in and ask for help, and they have various types of help. They not only have actual doctors and nurses
mm-hmm.
that they can refer to, they have counseling programs, they have culturally appropriate practitioners, where if you're more comfortable speaking to a kupuna, or you'd like to speak to a peer, then they're perfectly okay with helping you connect up. And they will help give you resources. Just, you know, there's a place everywhere. In Wahiwa, in Waipahu, on the North Shore, there are centers everywhere, health centers.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I wasn't raised in the technology era. But
neither was I, yes.
You know, you got to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask a young person, can you help me? Or go to the library. They have free internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of that resource, there at Leawood College, the extension out in Waianae, there is on the second floor there. There is a program there that a lot of the kupuna and people that don't have the money can go there and learn and establish an email or use the computers to do that research. Now, I'm looking in here. I was provided a cancer support group, no registration. meet with others who have cancer, talk about your concerns, and learn how others are coping. Speakers will present topics of interest from time to time. And this is 2015 scheduled. It's here's a phone number, 808-432-8538. And we're near May now, April. So 422-527-624-722. And these are the months, August 26th. And on and on. So call that number if you want to and need to. It's location of Puna Puna Clinic, Plumera Room, second floor.
There you go. You know, there's, like Kanoi said, they do have outreach programs. But with what Kanoi and I are doing, when I was diagnosed with cancer and at Queens and going through surgery, they have a beautiful, beautiful place to go to after for support and counseling, because it does play on your mind, even though, I mean, it still plays on my mind. I'm still in fear, though I'm out of the 5-year remission. Mm-hmm. And I've had some of my women, they've celebrated the 5-year, and then all of a sudden the next year it comes back. So it does haunt you continually. Once you have that gene in your body, it does mm-hmm. haunt you. But, you know, living out in Mililani, and for me to get dressed and go buck traffic and find parking, you know, even if Queens Hospital has parking sometimes, you know, they're overloaded too. Mm-hmm. And then going to this beautiful facility for support, and then having to buck the traffic home was, you know, putting out 3-4 hours for me out of the day. Just thinking about it, it was exhausting. And that's the reason why I decided to have this foundation and this outreach program. And I developed the garden. And even if it wasn't even that time, going through the garden and everything, you know, I know that the women like Kanoi and myself and others that are very strong supporters of the Ivalonis Foundation, that we will laugh with you, cry with you, have coffee with you, have tea or water, whatever it may be, or you can call us, because we've gone through the same experience. And I've talked to, you know, counterparts, you know, husbands or boyfriends, and they clam up. They don't know what to say. It's a domino effect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, tell them how much you love them, you know. Be wonderful and be supportive, because you do clam up some of the family members. They don't know what to say.
Yes. So, anyway, for those of you that are joining us with Mr. Carroll here this morning on the radio station 1080 AM. I am Kanoi Casimiro, and I'm sitting here with my tita, Ivalani Siu. And we are talking about a very important thing, which is fighting for breast cancer awareness. Now, want to just kind of reiterate a few things. We got together a bunch of women.
Absolutely, yes.
And we did our own version, our own local version of, remember the movie Calendar Girl?
Yes.
You know, so we did our own version. But through the years, you know, we thought about calendars, we thought about many things. But what we are doing now is we really want to publish a book mm-hmm. called The Magnificent Women of Hawaii. All these beautiful pictures of these beautiful women, some of whom we've already lost.
Yes.
And we are going to put their stories in it, as well as information on what to look for, breast cancer facts in general.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the book is going to be. It's not going to be just a pretty coffee table book that you look at. It's going to have information.
Mm-hmm.
And some generic information, so people can, because, you know, the Hawaii Cancer Association is always going to be here. Certain people like that, hello, if you're out there, we sure could use some help. And as a result, if you'd like to help us sponsor an event, let me talk about the event.
Yay!
Now, okay, just for 1 second here. Here's the thing you have. For immediate release, the Ivalani Foundation for Breast Cancer Awareness. May Day is Lay Day 2015. So you're going to talk about that, but give me a little more specifics and clarity. What is the Ivalani Foundation? We've hinted at it. Tell us that, and you've told us.
Well, it's an outreach. We like to be approachable. We want to be appreciated, that we give this love and appreciation to others. The Eva Lonnie's Foundation is all about, we're a local and the only local chapter there is, because they're a great foundation, the Susan Coleman American Cancer Society. But because we're local women, we want to think that we can truly be the voice. We can reach out and be physically there for you. And that's what we want to be. The foundation is a great, great part of women through music, song, and dance. We'll come and sing to you, laugh with you, cry with you, you know, give you a big hug and say, sister, you can do this. And of course, we know that men has breast cancer also, but we started off basically is saluting the women of Hawaii, where other great, other organizations, and it's for research and everything else, but we like to be real, to be a one-on-one and say, I can talk to you, I can love you. I'm not a counselor, but I'll be there to talk to you, hug you, and be approachable.
So if I wanted to reach you, I can, the 623-6776?
Yes, yes.
And, or is it the 778-0211? Are those
they're both.
They're
both my phone numbers. Okay. Every morning I have a prayer group that call me to start off our day praying for good health. And even in the evenings, or they come out to the garden, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, the foundation is all about. And it's about educating our women of Hawaii. When they can go up to Kanoi, or go up to myself, or other women that are members of the foundation, to say, I need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. You know, they recognize her face, or recognize my face. And we do. I mean, to be bold, I want to be the face. I want to be a voice. Kanoi wants to be the face and the voice to say, hey, sisters, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't hesitate to come up to us. Mm-hmm. We'll share our aloha. Aloha is not a word, you know. It's an action. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do.
So if you want to email, if Eva Lonnie Foundation, IWALANI, Hula, one, the number one, at yahoo.com.
Yes.
IWALANIHULA, one, the number, at yahoo.com. Again, the phone number is 623-6776 or 778-0211.
Yes.
And Stacy, you there?
Yes, I am.
You have anything you want to throw a pitch in here? Because it's open mic, and I invite anyone else out there listening to call in 524-1080. Go ahead, Stacey, if you have something you want to add with us.
Well, I really want to stress how Eva Lonnie, even the garden, Honolulu'uli Eva Lonnie being out there, she just welcomed me for tea and just walking around the garden, and that intangible love and hope she filled me with made such a difference. And my heart now, like hers, is to be out there in our local community with a voice. It's still hard for us, as you can tell, for us to speak about it. But if we keep it to ourselves, we lose the value where our experience and can help lift other people up. And the other thing, Eva Lonnie, you helped me with was, after the fact, to keep that winning spirit alive and well, watching things like stress, life can be too short,
yes.
Nutrition, taking that seriously, watching the amount of sleep, the hydration, really guarding that immune system. And I remember you teaching me about the aloe, just putting it in the morning in my smoothie, and it didn't taste too good, but redeeming the power of the way God designed our body to care for ourselves better. To appreciate what we went through and how to live differently, making health and wellness our number one priority. And years later, I feel now healthier than ever. The way I'm raising my children is different. The power of nutrition, hydration, sleep, that immune system. So there's a lot of takeaways. And again, just thank you, Eva Lonnie, for being there for me. And like I said, I had, like you, Eva Lonnie, lots of support groups, but your foundation was so close to home. It was like having an auntie.
Thank you.
You just feel so free. And that is that love that we can have for one another. That is that extra edge. Because there are times I could be positive, yes, and a go-getter, I'm going to win this, but you never know when it's going to creep up on you that you can give in to fear. But with Ivalani, that was never the case, not allowed. So I just want to thank her again.
No, thank you, Stacy. I like to say one thing about Stacy. You know, she's thanking me, but you know, she walked, ran, did everything for the American Cancer Society and hosted some great women and men there at the aquarium. Remember that, Stacy?
Yeah.
And you know, and we taught them hula in the spirit of aloha because they came from all parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And she also brought them out to the garden. And with Kanoa here, we're going to segue into what we're doing for the Hulathon. But it was Hula for Health and Wellness because mm-hmm. we talk about, you know, exercising. We talk about spirituality. All of that, you know, comes into play. And to have faith in all that you do. You cannot allow this horrific disease to consume your mind. You do have to be positive about it because if you're not, then the stress will feed into the cancer, you know. And you can't do that. So we do have another call coming in. Thank you, Stacy. I love you.
Thank you.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Aloha, my name is Tasha. Hi, Auntie. I just wanted to call in and to say thank you for everything that you've done for the foundation, for all of the breast cancer survivors out there that you've been in touch with. I am a breast cancer survivor as well. Auntie Ivalani has absolutely supported me. She has been there. She's picked me up when I'm down. She's just a great strength for women, and you've been a mentor. And just, you know, you're my hero, and I just wanted to call you and tell you that on the radio so everyone knows.
Well, don't go away, or if you do go away, stay close to the phone because we want to talk to you later about Pictures Plus and what's found there. These pictures can be...
That's exactly right, because Stacy is helping us.
Or Stacy is gone, but...
I'm sorry. Yeah, Tasha.
Tasha.
Stacy, bye. And Tasha, hello, is helping us because she works with Pictures Plus. Mm-hmm. And so she and Pictures Plus are really part of what we're doing on May Day at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater. We are having a fabulous event. It's going to be a hula-thon, which means that we are going to hula the whole time. We're going to start setting up early at around, I think, 8:30 or so.
Yes.
But by 9:30-ish, when just before the center officially opens, we're going to start with protocol. Kumuhina is going to be there, as well as Kumu Ka'iwi Lam and several others. So we're going to start Hawaiian style with protocol at the very beginning.
And blessings, lots of love.
Blessings, asking all our Aumakua as well as Makua as well as Keakua to be there with us through this event, 12 hours till the warehouse closes at 9 p.m. There will be continuous hula, music, dancing, beautiful women. Pictures Plus is helping us put up a gallery of some of these photographs. They're helping us with our signage. They are continuously there to support us, not just because Tasha is a survivor, but because they care about the islands. And they, as well as Namea, which is right there at the center, Namea is going to have a lot of practitioners
yes.
there as well. Our cultural practitioners, our laymakers, people that like, I think Uncle's going to be there with his hala, and we're going to have weavers there as well. So there'll be a lot of hands-on. We're going to have a booth with information about breast cancer awareness, and we actually would like to invite all of the breast cancer organizations. If you want to send somebody down to be in
yes.
our booth,
dance with us, sing with us.
Yes.
Bring
your information, bring your pala-pala down, your papers, bring your brochures. Let's get the information out to all these wonderful people that are going to come down to watch and maybe jump in and dance with us or just get up and play music.
We've called a lot of
They're all coming down. It's a continuum. And I have to say, Kanoe, she's just beyond awesome, this lady. Go get them, no get them, Tita. And I call her Tootsie. I just love her. She's going to be there from, like I said, 8 o'clock. We're setting up everything until 9 o'clock. Now, telling me, she's going to be dancing all that time in between when we're trying to do music and CDs and musicians. It's not going to stop because it's called the Hulathon. First of its kind here in Hawaii. And worldwide, because we want to make a difference.
Friday, May 1st, Ward Warehouse Amphitheater, 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. And if I know,
yes.
If I know what I know about functions such as this, you say 9, and it'll probably go, but once the mana gets flowing.
Well, they're going to shut us down, because
they
can only stay till 9 o'clock in the evening.
I know, but they'll
but
probably
the spirit will continue to go and grow.
But, Tasha, that program you have, how do people go to the website or at Pictures Plus? Can they view anything online?
Absolutely. You can view the beautiful women from Iwilani Foundation that did pose for Etsy on picturesplus.com.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Great.
Okay, sorry, I'm driving. So picturesplus.com, you can also go to picturesplusprint.com as well. And we have all of the women on display there.
Pictures Plus Prints, P-R-I-N-T-S?
.com is one of our websites, but
okay.
The main gallery where you can view all of the images is picturesplus.com.
Okay.
And you can, in the search section, you can put Iwilani Foundation, and you'll get to see all of the images. They're gorgeous.
And I agree. Now, just out of curiosity, you don't have to, but you experienced breast cancer. How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 35 when I was diagnosed, and it was a huge shock to me. I didn't know that I could even get breast cancer at that age. So that is a passion of mine, getting the word out there about women with breast cancer under 40. If you are susceptible to getting that, someone in your family had it, you should definitely be getting checked as early as 25. And that's something I did not know. So that's the word I'm trying to get out.
Okay.
At a very young age, you know, Tasha, I'm going to share your story a little bit. Again, she didn't know, and she was saving her money, a single woman, everything, to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, working for a wonderful company, or even when you have health insurance, they pay only 80%. But that 20% can be devastating. So, you know, she saved over $100,000 to buy, you know, put down on a home.
Mm-hmm.
But that, it got eaten up on that 20%. So, though, you never know, because you don't want to not know the extent of your cancer, because you know you can have your bill can be from $10,000 to $100,000. It depends the extent of your cancer and the extent of the work that the physicians have to do and the extent of how long you have to stay in the hospital. Tasha, you've gone through 2 years of continuum surgeries, right?
I absolutely did. I was actually bald for a year and a half, and I had about 5 surgeries in 18 months. And thank God, that's all behind me now.
Mm-hmm.
So I am doing good, and I have a clear bill of health at the moment.
You know, the beautiful part, I mean, as a single woman, never been married or anything, having children, you know, she came to me and she goes, Auntie, you know, Tasha's a gorgeous woman. And she said, but, you know, I'm going to be personal here, Tasha, because we got to reach out to other women. And
go ahead,
said,
I'm about to.
But she said, but when I take off my
pictures out there.
I know. She said, but when I take off my clothes, Auntie, you know, this man is going to look at me and say, oh, my gosh, whatever happened to you, you know, because, you know, she is, you know, botched up a little bit, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it can work on our mind as females, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I said, well, shame on any man that's going to look at you because of your body being naked, not looking at your heart or your mind or what you represent. And I said, be proud of who you are and what you've done and how much you've accomplished. But it does play a huge impact in psychological, you know,
well,
in your mind.
Well, it's how we're raised, you
absolutely
know, the image of the body, how you look, how you dress. I mean, you know, we're all brainwashed. We're all brainwashed
absolutely
to believe that there's a certain image that we have to project. that we have to be beautiful, we have to be thin. It doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when something actually devastates you to the point where you begin to question that, it's amazing how the true soul of who you are shines through.
Absolutely. And I just told Tasha, I said, shame on any man listening out there. Again, zoom in to the heart and the mind of the person that you're in love with. I mean, I take off my clothes, I probably, you know, I got the roadmap of ever to blow hole, you know what I mean? But, you know, look at me as a woman. Look at me for my strength, you know, and look at me for who and what I represent, you know. Fall in love with my heart and my mind, and the rest comes easy. And, Tasha, I compliment you. I applaud you for taking that stand, because young women, you know, we need young women like you to say, hey, Malama Kekino. We need people like Kanoi. We need people like Stacey that are not ashamed to tell the truth, to reach out and make a difference here in our islands. It's so important. And through health and wellness and through exercise and through hula and music, I'm going to give it back to Kanoi so she can talk more about our hulathon, which is the first of its kind. We want to have Hawaii come down and support us. You don't have to dance hula. You just come on down and support it.
Right. So, regarding the hulathon.
Yes.
Okay, people, let's face it, May Day is not what it used to be. It's International Culture Day.
Yes.
Which is fine. I have no problems with that. But, you know, I miss May Day. And being a Casimiro, I miss May Day at the Waikiki Shell.
Yes, yes.
So if you want an alternative, there's another Casimira doing something.
Yeah, she's a twin. She's a twin of Roland, yeah?
So come on down to the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater. Bring your family. Bring your friends. All of the places are going to be open. In fact, we have these passports that we're going to be selling for $5 at the booth. And what it gives you is discounts throughout the ward complexes. But the $5 will go to the Ivalani Foundation, mm-hmm, to help us with breast cancer awareness and for the Magnificent Women of Hawaii, which will be our book. But in the meantime, help support May Day is Lay Day without Hulathon 2015 at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. straight through in song, hula, and especially dance. We share with everybody. Now, you can donate, mm-hmm, at the Ivalani Foundation. We have a website, www.ivalanifoundation.com, I-W-A-L-A-N-I, foundation.com. Also, we have a Facebook page.
Yay!
Yay! So you can go on to that. Now, Mea Hawaii, who has been helping us, is also setting up a PayPal, so you can also make donations that way. And you can come down that day, and we'll take your money. We'd be happy to take your money.
5 cents, $5.
Yeah.
You know, we're not proud. We'll take it all, right?
Because
we
got to
get this book
counts,
going. We need to raise $30,000, right, to do this beautiful book. And it's going to be the first of 50 states. Like, come on, people. Help Hawaii make the difference, not only here on our own islands, but worldwide. I'm vain. I want to have the first book out of all these wonderful, beautiful women just bearing it all for the cause, for health and wellness.
So in the meantime, you can also contact me. My email is CazTwin, C-A-Z-T-W-I-N. If you don't understand what it means, well, whatever. CazTwin, C-A-Z-T-W-I-N, at AOL.com. And my cell phone number is 808-224-0767. Leave a message. Let me know what's going on, and I will get back to you. Of course, pulling all the halauds together is fabulous. Ivalani Walsh, see you at ivalanihula1 at yahoo.com. And her number at the sent at the home. Well, she'll take messages there. And if you want to come out to the gardens, her number is 808-623-6776. And, you know, if you're curious to know what Namea Hawaii will be. Hold on. Okay. If you're curious to know what Namea Hawaii will be having with regards to cultural practitioners, you can reach them at Namea Hawaii 596-8885. So, but we will be there. We got another caller?
Caller, good morning. Thanks for waiting. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning, Carol Cox and the women there. My mother, many years ago, took out her womb. And right now, they realize that unnecessarily a lot of women lost their wombs.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case of women getting breast cancer, I'm so thankful that we had the medical institutions to save all these women. But I think women should take maybe a second or third opinion before taking a biopsy or whatever it takes to be sure that they don't or they do have cancer. And I know when you take, I've talked to my ex-wife, my second ex-wife, she says they take a mammogram and also they take an ultrasound and it. And I'm thinking, does the ultrasound actually move the thing in the breast so it causes lumps and it assumes that there is a possibility you can have cancer? A lot of times the medical industry take advantage of unknowing, innocent women so that the doctors can make money. I'm not saying this is a charlatan about this idea of breast cancer, but women should be very careful and be really sure. If it's hereditary, then most likely they can have breast cancer. But I think a second, a third opinion is very important. And also the scripture says being in the bosom position, the favorite position with your ohana, you know, the wife or the mother, the children is all in the bosom position of their mother, the husband, with their mother. So women are very important in the eyes of God.
Yeah, thank you.
Over.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
Brother.
Thank you.
Brother, what's your name?
Huh?
What's your name?
Glenn Y. Yamasaki. I'll take the message, the conversation on the radio. I'll just listen.
You're going to stay on, Glenn. Hold on, Glenn.
I just wanted to say mahalo, Glenn, because, you know, it shows that you are aware. And men, they take a back seat. So I thank you for coming forward and speaking about your own experience with your mama and with your ex-wife as well. You know, we have to share the experience. And a lot of the points that you brought up are important. It's as I also said, get a second opinion. Find out. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. You have to ask the questions. And there is no wrong question. Correct? Yeah, Glenn. You cannot. There's no wrong question to ask.
Absolutely.
You need to ask the questions. You need to find out. Don't be afraid to challenge because you are your best advocate. And that you have someone that is supportive. You see, the women that came together to do Magnificent Women of Hawaii, to do the pictures, were not only breast cancer survivors, they were affected because they were caregivers like yourself, family members like yourself. And, you know, I have numerous family members now who are going through it. And, you know, it's sad. I'm a cancer survivor, mm-hmm. not a breast cancer survivor. When I did this, I just went because I wanted to help, but I lost family members to cancer. And after the fact, yeah, go ahead, Glenn, you were going to say something.
I have a reading that my daughter gave me on meditation, and this is what Virgil said, let every man's hope be in himself. What he's trying to say here is that you have to believe in yourself. You have to educate yourself. First is yourself.
Absolutely, yes.
Thy mind, thy kingdom, as one of the readings also say. First providence is your mind. Educate your mind. Educate your health.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
important.
Absolutely, because your body is your temple. You know, 31 years ago, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and they told me to abort. Ooh, abort my child. And my mother was a very, very strong Christian, and she said, "How do you feel?" And I said, "I don't know what to do, Mom." And she said, "We're not going to abort this child." And she said, "You surrender everything." And trust me, Glenn, I'm not the best Christian, but my mother was. And so I carried this baby as long as I could, and a little more than 7 months. I was very weak, but I didn't let anybody know how much I was struggling. My ex-husband at the time didn't know, had no idea. And I kept that from him. And so I went into early. We called it, my doctor and I said I didn't want anybody to know. So it was called induced labor. And she came unhealthy. She's been nothing but a joy. Then she became a Miss Hawaii. And now she is touring the world, sharing the Aloha spirit through music, song, and dance, and hula, as Kanoi has all her life. And you know what? You're right. You know, we have to surrender and believe, because the mind is extremely powerful. And for those of you that, you know, have the Lord in your heart or you have faith, it doesn't matter what denomination you belong to, but you have to be strong because the mind is extremely powerful. So I had stage 3 cervical cancer as well as stage 3 breasts. And I'm here because I believe Sister and I, we have a mission, so the good Lord said, we're not ready for you tittles right now.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't my time. He had too much work for me. I knew it wasn't going to be my time.
Right. And, you know, the Casamares is an icon name here as far as music, song, and dance. And I'm so glad that Sister is taking the role now to come and do the hula. She herself is dancing for 12 hours, you know. And
I know her uncle. I know her uncle, Anton Casimiro.
Oh, my.
I come from old Kohala. I know all the Casimiro family. In Kohala, yeah.
My kai kamakani o Kohala. So glad. I'm going to see you may there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, come down, okay?
Yeah. Thank you,
I see you, Megan. No, you please come down and give us the support. All of you, you know, even if you don't dance hula, you know, make a picnic out of it, make a party out of it. You know, just come down and celebrate life with us. Celebrate May Day's Lay Day. Wear a lay, give a lay, make a lay. We're all going to be out there. And, you know, with Tatsina, you know, when you give a lay, you bring them into your space, into your heart. And that's important. And it is, in like I said, in the true spirit of Aloha, that I wear my lei on my breast. So, you know, all those flowers of whatever I'm wearing, or beads or shells, it represents the women that I hold and I carry along with me. And so does Tootsie here. And again, we wanna be able to reach out and give education, give love, give support. Don't be hila hila. Let's talk about it. Let's enjoy life, celebrate life. It's inevitable. We're all going to pass. And like Tootsie said earlier, that, you know, we've lost the women, some of the women that came to support us and pose for us. So their stories, their photos cannot go in vain. So we need to raise this money. It's been a 9-year campaign, actually, to go out. I've raised some monies, and with the monies, some of my ladies needed that more than me. So I put the book back and donated to their health and wellness as far as paying for their insurance or paying for whatever it may be to help them, you know, to help them. And like Tootsie said, it was a calendar originally. But then, you know, we thought that, you know, after 12 months, how do you select the first 12 people when we have over, you know, 200 shots?
Right.
And we love them all. So we decided to not do the calendar, save more money, continue to fundraise, and let's do a beautiful book of everybody and their stories and health and wellness and a cancer fact, and also about how to malama kikino through fresh fruits and vegetables. It's all going to be there. So it's a one book. It's going to be entertaining for you to say, whoa, you know, my auntie, my sister, my neighbor, this prominent woman in the community buried it all, you know. Tootsie took everything off. And like I said, and she goes, "Sister, you have me. What do you want?
Well, we want to talk about some of the other issues with this, but If you're listening, 524-1080 is the number. My guest is Ms. Kumahula Ivalani Sue. And Mrs. Casimera.
Ms. Kanoe.
Kanoe, right?
Yes.
K-A-N-O-E.
Yes.
Okay. And as in Mississippi, we would say Kanu.
Kanu. Well, we're not there, darling.
But the idea is, here's some of the facts. I look at your brochure and then some of the things I've read through here. Fact, Hawaiian women and Filipinos have the highest rate of breast cancer, with other Asian ethnicities following close behind.
Absolutely, yes.
And so if you want to take a break for a minute and then we can come back, or, and I also want, you know, we talk about the person that experienced breast cancer or find that they discover they have breast cancer. What can the family do to comfort? I mean, there must be a great stress on the individual who discovers, and then now you got the family. Does that, that causes things to be topsy-turvy, right?
Absolutely. It does have a domino
effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how does the family prepare itself for that? Because you got to go adjust your schedules financially. Then there's a fear of death and dying and the illness. And there's a recovery. Even
absolutely,
discovering
yes.
it is mild. But it's just what follows. And if you can
you
speak to that.
You never prepared for it, but we can give you, through our own experiences, how to do it. I mean, even
can you do that? And if you would, because there would be, like me, I learned from examples.
Yes, well, okay. For instance, I'll tell you my story. After I got home and I was lying in bed and my daughters closed the doors. And they were going, shh, 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 let mom rest and let mom do, you know, and everything. And a couple of days going through this, I just gave a huge yell. And I said, what are you doing? Open the door. You know, I want to hear music. I want to hear jokes. I want, you know, sing to me, laugh with me, come massage my feet or whatever. And, you know, people will come to the door and say, oh, you know, we came to visit mom. They go, oh, you know, mom's resting. Well, you know, in my thinking, I said, I can rest for a lifetime, you know, when my days are going to be numbered. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want my family, I want my friends to talk to me, to come forward, you know, and be there. I want to have a dialogue. I want to be able to share my experience. I want to tell them, listen, tell me a good joke, sing to me, dance with me, or whatever it may be. Even for husbands, I mean, that's when you really show your aloha, or your boyfriend or your counterpart, whatever it may be, or your children. That's a time to be extremely communicative and share the happy times, share the memories, you know, do the extra work at home, you know, of cleaning up or making the area look really nice. But it is very difficult. And we know that with our families, they clam up. I mean, because they become nervous or they become withdrawn. They don't know how to talk. And I've had the opportunity of talking to husbands and partners to say, that's the time you need to talk the most. Mm-hmm. That's the time you need to reach out the most. This is the time to touch her or give her love and support and say, honey, I'm here for you. What can I do? Mm-hmm. It is so important.
You know, let me just touch upon a few things. I know that everybody wonders, what is a mammogram? When should you start getting a mammogram? Quite honestly, when a woman comes of age and already starts her menstrual period,
yes,
you should begin to consider and speak with your doctor about all the necessary steps of keeping your body healthy. And that includes checking yourself for breast cancer, for lumps, taking mammograms. Maybe when you're younger, it doesn't have to be every year, but it could be included in your annual visits. So that's something worth thinking about. The other thing, self-breast examination. Mm-hmm. Yes, every woman needs to know how to properly feel, how to lift their arms so they can feel where the lymph nodes are, as well as around the mammillary tissues, the soft tissues, to search for bumps. But there are also a number of tools. For example, there's somebody gave me once. It's like a gel within a plastic, and when you put it over
your breath, it actually sensitizes your touch to where you feel more, should mm-hmm. there be.
Yes, yes.
And I forget what it's called. But, you know, don't be afraid to Google it again. A great instrument happens to be that. So those are the immediate things that come to mind that people want to know. What is a mammogram? How often do I have to do it? Is a self-check enough? Sometimes you need more. Ultrasound, as Glenn mentioned, is something else. If there is a slight chance that there could be something more, I say go for it. Better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely. I'm thinking Dr. Oz and Dr. Ruth. It was so funny because both of them said, make it part of your, you know, with your counterpart as part of your foreplay, mm-hmm. you know, because, I mean, men out there, you know, get to know your counterpart's body or, you know, whoever, and make it fun, you know. Hey, let's just be real here. So get to know your partner's body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was on Dr. Oz as well as Dr. Roots to say, it was my counterpart that found that lump and told me, hey, this has not been here before. Let's get it checked. So again, it's life. Let's be real here. It's life. You know, you need to know your body. You need to get yourself in. You need to touch yourself. Years ago, they didn't promote that. But like, cause Tootsie said, you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, every step you take to educate yourself and to include your family, or if you have a partner, are married, have a relationship, you need to share that, because that emotional support is the biggest thing, the biggest gift that we can give someone we know
mm-hmm.
who is going through cancer. You know, sitting with my sister when she was going through cancer and getting treatments, her chemo treatments, just sitting with her,
yes,
was so much fun. People think, oh God, it's so good. You know what? It's time spent. You joke, you talk, regardless of the place and the situation. It is a crystallized moment in time that no one can take away from you, and that you are gifting that person.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of it.
Now, a couple of things that causes concern, and there's a caller. I'll get the call first, and we'll come back to this one.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. Any comment or question?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, is this a gist of your program today?
Pardon me?
Is this the subject of your program today?
What's the subject?
Breast cancer.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I'll come back next week when you get back to slamming corrupt state
well,
and
no,
city government.
You hold on.
Well, you know, you want to slam the government. Some of what needs to be done is a little more support for people that don't have funds, that need medical assistance. So there
yes,
you go.
Yes.
I was hoping you called. This is Ed, and he has the strength of a viper. And if he called the government office, they'll listen.
All right, Ed.
We
like
support.
You.
We need that support.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks.
No, thank you, Ed. But the big question is, I don't really believe we've given placed the emphasis as a health risk. And financially, what it does, a female member, men can have breast cancer too, but you discover that family financially is impacted.
Oh,
it,
yes.
No one knows, and I can't imagine, I hope that I never experience this, but from what I've observed and the little I know about various families and the cost.
Oh, yes,
oh, yes.
It's so great, and the devastation that it brings, adjustments, readjustment, redefining your entire life because there's someone
mm-hmm.
you love,
mm-hmm.
and it what if that person was actively employed and working and was a part of the breadwinning portion of the family?
Well,
what does that do to a family?
Well,
it devastates them.
You know, we know stories that people lost their homes.
Well, we live the stories.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We both have.
We both live.
And
the stories.
I'm a materialistic queen. Come on, for those of you that's listening, you know, I mean, you know, I had more flowers, more eyelashes, more jewels, or bigger, beads and bangles, whatever. But the thing is, when I was hit with breast cancer, I mean, the bills start coming in. I had to downsize. I had to liquidate. I had to get rid of. Because I knew, you know, that's what it cost. I mean, it caught me at a time, like I said, I didn't have health insurance. So, and even for Tasha's sake, with who had health insurance, that 20% can still suck you up and suck you dry.
And if they know you have that, because you have to declare you have that, it's going to be drained.
Yeah, and I couldn't get any kind of support, you know, because I own a home. Mm-hmm. I had a business, so mm-hmm. I couldn't go to any kind of organization for a subsidy or a reach out program, because they said, okay, Eva Lenny, let's Google her. Oh my gosh, is this how she looks like? Well, she can get rid of a couple of things and pay her bills. What is she doing asking for help, you know? But there's people that really need the help and don't get the help.
Yeah.
So, okay, you talk about that 20%. Mm-hmm. Okay. Both of us have been at the point of nearly losing our homes.
Yes.
Because of the
expenses
and hardship.
Because of the expenses. It's ongoing. If you open up my phone, under D, I have doctors. Yes. I think I have about a dozen numbers because I have to go see so many different doctors. And you're seeing them constantly, every week, every couple of weeks, every 3 weeks, until it's finally every month, every 3 months. It's insane. And that does not stop.
It doesn't stop.
Fortunately for me, you know, and everybody can say what they want to say, but when the new law came into effect and I could get assistance thanks to you know, our president, I was able to go on a plan that would help me pay less in my mortgage based upon what I was earning. And literally, you have to divest yourself.
Totally.
Of a lot, you know, you do what we do. Go through our jewelry and see what we don't need. You have only so many ring fingers. You have only one neck to wear a necklace on. Do you really need this? Can I sell it? What do I do to survive, to not fall into total despair? You know, and there are people who go through it and they don't have the resources to divest. They don't have the resources to go to someone, or they have just enough where they don't qualify for any help at all. That's us.
Yes.
Yeah, and you
we're
know,
the richest poor people there.
I want to digress a bit. The caller that just called, that is exactly, you're talking about, I feel like I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
Make my, and what's his name? Clint Eastwood,
make my day.
He made my day, because it is exactly why I believe that I should try and reach out and do this show, because we're so busy in everything we do, but there's a population of people, and 50% of the population, let's say if women, any one of them could be discovered that they have breast cancer, because we don't know if it's environmental, hereditary, we just don't know.
We don't know.
We need to place a greater emphasis on it. And our legislators need to be looking forward to this, because it seems to be getting worse and presenting itself in different forms, cancer in women.
You know, it's really funny, excuse me, Mr. Carroll, is that with all the research and with all the monies going out that way, we still have more cancer, breast cancer, coming up than anything else. Mm-hmm. And yes, we have great technology, you know, but why is there not a cure, you know, with all the monies that billions of dollars we're giving to research?
And if you could do share with us, and a little caution should be given. You discover you have breast cancer. There's a potential, maybe remote or very small chance, that you'll gravitate to trying to cure it yourself and falling victim to buying juices and drinks and things of that nature. What do you have to say to that? What's your opinion, or how does one avoid submitting themselves? I mean, because they're desperate. I mean,
well,
I know me. I would be frantic. So what could you offer
as guidance?
Well,
for me, I couldn't afford all the pharmaceutical, you know, pills and everything else, because I didn't have health insurance. I did go holistic.
Mm-hmm. All
and
the way.
And you're still here.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, everybody's different. So I don't say, okay, you know, start going out there and eating the aloe and all the fresh fruits and vegetables and everything else. I can just talk about me, mm-hmm. what worked for me. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not in my family. It's not hereditary, you know. I was the first to have cancer in my family. Everybody else died of, you know, heart disease or diabetes or everything else but cancer. So it starts with me now for my children. It was never my parents or anybody else. Could it be environmental? Yes, could be, because when I was traveling to Japan and those in my younger years, the airplane, you could smoke. Secondary smoke is horrific. And, you know, I mean, that place was clouded, the airplane, mm-hmm. clouded with mm-hmm. smoke and everything mm-hmm. as I was traveling. You never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. They say diet. I mean, we can do research, and they're speculating on so many things. And then they're saying, oh, don't eat this processed food, or don't eat too much of this. First of all, eat a lot of tofu and eat all of that. And now they say, oh, tofu is not good. I mean, what do you eat?
It's just like, oh, you have to go with margarine. Butter is not good for you, and now margarine is not good for you, and go back to butter. And it's like, you know, I say everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your health and wellness, you need to do what works for you. For some people, it's a combination. I think we have time for one more caller before we have to go, huh?
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Aloha. For those of us who are fortunate in our life and have not been struck with cancer or such an illness, Ivalani's place is a sanctuary. My name's Tom Berg. I'm from Evan.
Oh,
this
Tom.
This place is a sanctuary.
Oh, you're a sweetheart.
For way beyond the directive and mission statement of your radio program today, as Ho'opili swallows them whole, they're not going to give up that little niche of a microcosm that probably may hold a concoction to cure cancer in her garden one day. As the rest of Honolulu gets paved over, Ivalani, It may turn out that there's something growing in your yard that does something with another plant in your yard, and you got the cure.
You know, Tom, you're amazing, because, you know, excuse me, Tom has been on this wave with me years back. He came out, you know, and he supported me and attended my gatherings and just
he was her personal Uber sometimes.
I tell you. And he would say, you know, Tom is another go get 'em, no scare 'em guy, you know, and because of his strength, it has given me that, you know, desire that I can do this, you know, another truck.
No. She's learning hula moves from me, from my arm and waving, all my mannerisms. She goes, wow, isn't it? I can express, we can do this. So. No, I'm having fun with this because it's, again, their mission, the scope, is far reaching. The stage that you have, the orators, the people that have knowledge of history here that have a place to go to share such. If you get a commercialization or a kitchen or something going and creating more jobs and helping out with a little industry in Honolulu back there, there's so much potential I know that you have that you haven't discussed on this program to have a greater impact beyond just coping, and I don't say just, but you and I, you know what I mean, with this situation. Yeah.
Well, I just wish, you know, with Kanoi and I, anybody out there, if you got Kala that you don't know what to do with, we need your help. We need your support. I don't know where there's Uncle Kokua out there or somebody.
Oh, yeah,
to
he's
give,
on the list.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. You know, help us with this book. Help us with the garden so we can continue
30,
to help 000, the community.
Right?
30,000, yes.
30,000 for the book?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
You know,
imagine having everybody has a little jar at home with coins that they've emptied their pockets so they wouldn't tear a hole in their pockets. What if they brought that little jar down to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that'd be
would
awesome.
That
that'd be awesome. You know, I mean, Tom has given so much of his time and energy and everything else. I mean, pounding the pavement for our community and for me personally, Tom, you know, mahalo nui.
And we need you. You got to stick around because, you know, we can only do so much, and then you can help us with that.
You know, Carol can put a call into Oprah Winfrey. I know he can, and she'll be
you know, that's been my dream.
Doing the walkthrough with you.
She's my icon, my model, to say, hey, you know, you've came to Hawaii, you felt this love and aloha, you've invested in our aina. Come invest into our community as far as the women, you know, through health and mm-hmm. wellness. Mm-hmm. So anybody that knows Oprah personally, you know, I'd love to meet her. Listen, I'd love to be on her program.
I still have notes about doing that.
Yay.
So, but thanks, Tom.
Yeah, mahalo. I'll listen. Mahalo. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom, see you May 1st. Huh?
Thank you.
Mahalo.
Thank you. Carla, good morning. Thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Sure. I'd just like to share that a lot of times when it comes to this medicine thing,
mm-hmm.
it involves so much research on the part of the doctor, whoever your primary is,
mm-hmm.
that they can't do it. So a lot of times you ever wonder, well, how come the tests, you know you got symptoms, but yet the tests keep coming back, nothing wrong.
Yeah,
well, you see, mm-hmm. it ain't designed to find subclinical disease. It's only designed, it's designed for a different reason than why we go for medical care. And when you read, when you have an extensive, deep library on medicine, you find out, there's subjects like deadly drug interactions, books mm-hmm. like that. And when you read them books, you find out not just drugs cause poison effects in the body, interactions, foods do too.
Yes.
There's a whole lot to the human body because it has so many systems in it
mm-hmm.
that it's almost as if we are supposed to learn first our bodies at the deepest medical level as we can.
I was going to say, you are so right in that while we're healthy, we should be looking at how to maintain our health. You're exactly right. Because certain foods for our type, our blood type or whatever, you know, we shouldn't mix them.
But drug interactions are very, very complex.
Yes.
Because you can have one thing. When you're doing one thing, you have to know what not to. Like your favorite foods, whatever you are eating growing up, the first thing has to happen is we have to have a protocol for dealing with the body very, very young.
Yeah.
And that medical history, here's what I'm trying to say also. The dynamic medical history, the ongoing medical history is critical, because if they don't do a medical history, they could have, and it's important that people understand that they keep medical histories like they keep diaries, because
yeah.
if you do get the right doctor, they may find that you did something when you were 10 years old that's affecting you now at 50,
mm-hmm.
and they could have
right.
a cure.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had a society that was really devoted to life, our society is devoted to actuarial science, not medicine.
Well, that's why nowadays a lot of education starts when the kids are younger, and they try to educate people about foods, about supplements, about understanding how they live their lives, even to teach kids how to deal with stress. And they do a lot of this at the elementary level, because you're absolutely right. You mentioned a good thing. Learning about these things young, when you're younger. Because trying to relearn or unlearn and then relearn something when you're older, it's very difficult. You have to have a very strong desire. But I thank you for bringing up that point.
I want to share one last thing. Long thousands of years ago, when the Greeks first started visiting Egypt, I don't know how far back it goes, but at that time, the Egyptian civilization was so advanced
mm-hmm.
that they were like a civilization of doctors. They were like, everything was based on medicine thousands of years ago. And when they came back to where they came from, they would open up universities and stuff and teachings from what they learned in Egypt. What I'm trying to say is this: medicine must become a religion in the modern world. It has to replace religion, because in the business world, in the insurance world, remember this, health is not defined by health nationally. It's defined by death. Actuarial science.
Okay,
they're betting against you destroying yourself and patching you up when you go to the doctor to keep you paying to your last day. It ain't based on no health at all.
Well, thank you, caller.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, thank
you.
Yeah,
I'd just like to mention, Mr. Carroll, is that when I was diagnosed with cancer the first time, that I cut out all meat. I haven't eaten, you know, red meat for 31 years. So I do eat fish and chicken and a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I felt that, you know, I became healthier. Again, it's just only talking about me, of what I, you know, need to do. And I do try to cut back as much as I can on greasy foods and everything, which I feel, I personally feel the difference. So, again, everybody's different. I'm a sweet tooth person, and that's not good either. Sugar is they also say it's a huge killer. So once in a while, I like to indulge in my sweets, but I got to cut back. You know, I'm 65 years old, and sometimes I said, you know what? I deserve to have a treat now and then. And sometimes it made me too many treats before, you know, I feel the difference in my body. But again, you know, it is true. You got to know your body, what is good and what is not. For me, I've lost women who had stage 1 cancer, and here I am, I had stage 3. So again, the body is different, and it reacts to different chemicals and different lifestyle.
So this hula-thon,
yes,
sounds like fun, and we'll try to come by there, at least listen for a while, look and...
Yes, that please support.
Wonderful.
We want
everybody,
all the... Yes, please come down.
Hey,
support.
Hey, my kako.
Yes.
Hey, who am I?
Are you singing? Are you dancing?
Oh, she's doing everything.
I'm dancing.
You're
going to
be dancing.
And she sings,
yeah,
too.
Are your brothers going to be...
You know, I only put out the call. I just put out the call, and I kahale out there and say, come. Everybody, come. Whoever can, kokua, please, come.
We're going to have
whoever,
a fun time.
Yeah,
you
whoever
know.
Wants to come and just watch, come. You want to participate? Come, we throw you in. You want to get up and dance? Dance.
It is important, you know, and I really, really want to commend and thank Kanoi for brainstorming and taking the lead on all of this. I mean, she's truly been a sister of faith and an inspiration and, you know, and through health and wellness. And we need that kind of love and support continually. So whoever's listening out there, we invite you. If you cannot come down, if you know that someone is struggling with any kind of cancer. Yeah, we spread the word about our hula-thon, yes. But again, getting back to the cancer. Give that love and support in every way you can. Don't hold back. Be verbally supportive, or touch that person, massage their feet or shoulder or whatever it may be. You know, sometimes you say, what can we do? What can we do? Sweetheart out there, you can do everything. You can do anything. Don't hold back.
And then, you know, I had the occasion to go visit my sister who was deceased now. She died from cancer, but... As you, listening to you say touch and rub, and so sitting there on her bedside as she's sitting up, and the treatment was so impactful that her skin would slough on just in large pieces. And so I asked her, what is it that you really want? What can I do for you now? Just, you know, she says, just rub my back.
Yes.
And then she let out one of the greatest, strongest laughs I've ever heard in my life. And then the next thing was, can you make me a pot of soup like you usually make when you come home?
Yes, that's sweet.
So that little piece, you know, and for those of you out there that are listening and we're not slamming the government, some things are even more important to me because, you know, I know and I see the cancer out there. That's what motivated me to try and hammer home the failure of government, because we're dealing with environmental issues and concerns that may be suspect in presenting problems and, you know, environmentally in homes and what have you, food and ingestion in the government, Monsanto, the issue of, you know, we have a situation here where we got a legislative body that, okay, Ed, you can call back now. we're slamming the government. But that body refused to say no to Monsanto and refused to say no to GMO and put just simply put it on the package.
Yeah.
That tells you where we are today. So this show was, I appreciate you joining me because we need to have just simple talk. You know,
absolutely,
often I say the Carol Cox Show, but it, trust me, it's not a show. It's the most human, basic form of discussion that I can get. I'm not entertaining anyone, not trying to impress anyone. There are real issues. I have friends that have breast cancer. I have friends that just learned she had breast cancer in the last week and a half. And again, the world is still turning. So,
go ahead. So, mahalo. Thank you very much. Carol Cox, thank you. KWAI, 1080 AM. And thank you, people of Hawaii, who are listening in. Your listenership is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Share the information. May Day is Lay Day at the Ward Warehouse, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Please come down and join us and learn more about breast cancer awareness and support us.
You know, we'll get a caller coming in, but I'd like to say, for the caller that's listening, I don't know what you're going to say, but we are bosom buddies, and we are sisters, and we want you to, even if you don't dance, Hula, come down, and just come down and say, you know what, Kanoa, you know what, Ivalani, you're doing a great job, and the people of Hawaii support you. We are coming down as the people of Hawaii because we need that support. You know, when somebody just tells me that, then it's just another fight for me to go forward and say, I can do this. I mean, it's been 9 years. I'm not going to give up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I need to continue. And the love that Kanoa is right behind me, pushing it. Sister, we can do this. We can do this.
Carla, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
What you're doing is great. And I have a lot of exposure to, the case of animals with breast cancer. It was interesting, and you might be interested in the fact that dogs are the only ones that get the same kind of breast cancer as humans, and it's almost exactly the same in a lot of ways, the incidence, and also that it runs in families, that, you know, it's hormonal, so if you spay a dog, the males rarely get it, like, you know, human males, and if you spay a dog before they have their puberty, they don't get it either. So it's just, you know, if you have an animal and you have a puppy before it goes into heat and you spay it, it's not going to get breast cancer. Whereas, like in humans, it has a large incidence, and once they get it, it metastasizes. It acts exactly like a human breast cancer. And in fact, if you, you know, remove the breast and you can cure it until it metastasizes in animals also. But unlike humans, you can actually prevent it. If you have a female dog and get her sick. So I just thought I'd bring up that information and of course,
indiscriminate.
Humans can't do that, but I think it's important for people to know.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Paula, good morning. Go ahead with your comment.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I want to ask you, ladies, my wife had three children, and she always breastfed them. And I was wondering if that prevents a woman from getting breast cancer more less than it does a regular person.
No studies have proven that it does or it doesn't. Quite frankly.
How is it your reply on the radio? I can't hear you on the phone.
Oh, no studies have proved that it does or it doesn't. But interesting fact.
And I think anybody that can breastfeed should breastfeed, you know. But truly, I wouldn't want to say either way because I'm not really educated in that field.
No, as far as I know, no. There's been no studies that prove it one way or the other, as far as I know.
Well, I would think that in the evolutionary front, breast cancer wouldn't be a problem of because a product of breastfeeding.
No,
absolutely not. No. He's saying that it might help, you know, prevent it.
Oh, okay. I heard a buzz. But anyway, yeah. Call any more comment?
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for listening. Mahalo.
Well,
Ladies, thank you. I know you got to get out of here and go do an interview or interviews, or do you want to? We got 20 more minutes. But
well, great. I just want to continue to push along. Again, thank Sister here, Kanoe Kazamaro, to come down, hula with us, listen to music, support us, just physically support us, because we want to be able to look at people and say, yes, in the spirit of aloha, through health and wellness, we come together. You know, Hawaii is such a loving, compassionate state, and we need that, you know. And just so that, I know, a tap on the shoulder says, Ivalani Kanoe, good job. Good job, ladies. That's all I need, you know. And then we can dance for another 2 hours.
Yes. Yeah, it'll keep me going.
Adrenaline junkies, you know. Yep. You just give us a kind word.
And I'll take a candy bar.
Yeah.
Anytime during the 12 hours to keep
me going.
A bottle of water
or something.
But, yep, it's okay with me. A dime, a dollar, $10 or more. We need help to publish this book that is not only beautiful, but will have information and breast cancer facts and cancer facts that will help you as well as us and every person on this earth, starting here in Hawaii.
And the benefits of that book, some of the proceeds will be going back into your program.
Yes, and also because we know we like to give, thank you, Jesus, if somebody out there to say, hey, you know, here's a kala, we just believe in you ladies and run with it. We want to give it to the hospitals. We want to give to the oncologists, or we want to just give out to women, you know, if we were at that level. And, you know, both Kanoe and I have used our own personal monies to do brochures, to do handouts. You know, she's pounding the pavement. I mean, just everything we possibly can do.
Let's put it in this package in this way. Something as simple as a headscarf or a stocking cap to a person that is under treatment and bald-headed, they've lost their hair, and they would like to have a cover. Some people can't afford those, the cost. Something as simple as that. Or a brassiere, a bra, that gives you the image.
Oh, absolutely. Every little thing helps.
And can't afford that. And may not be important to Joe Blow or the macho man like Carol Cox, but the reality is there's an importance of making that person feel whole, if nothing else but for a moment.
Yes, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
And just that, being able to go to someone, they don't have the money. I mean, they're trying to buy orange juice and basic needs and supplement, you know, and in turn, wouldn't it be nice that you'd be able to provide that stocking
cap? Well, we want to provide that all, Mr. Carroll, but, you know, right now, it's been a 9-year campaign, and we haven't had that kind of liberty to do that, but everything is possible. I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to pray about it, and I really believe the people of Hawaii, we're going to band together and make it happen. We're not going to be silent anymore because, you know, I always like to say this. I don't like to fight with anybody. I have no time to fight because I'm fighting against time. And I'm 65 years old, and thank you, Jesus, that now I have Medicare. I don't have to worry about taking all this money out of my own pocket. And so I'm going to forge forward, and I want to be the voice with Kanoe and I. We want to be the face. Wherever we go, they will come up and tap us on the shoulders and say, good job, ladies. Good job.
The spontaneity, speaking of that, now, this was just, I had, for the last 3 weeks, I've been working frantically on some other stuff, as the caller called and said, for laying the government. But I had to put that aside when I saw the opportunity to invite you, and then you fell into place.
Oh, yes. When there's Ivalani, there's Kanoe.
in my life, when things fall in place like that, that's when they work. So that's the way things have been. If you believe in what I believe in, when it falls like this, you know, you came at the beck and call of the last minute, and you came at the first minute, but it was just a couple of days ago, because I wanted to seize the opportunity in your program, the hula-thon, the garden, the things, the Ivalani Foundation.
Thank you.
And I had reached out to other organizations, but they didn't call me. Wouldn't call me back.
Well, you know, and the synergy between the three of us, it stems from the fact that we have all been touched by it personally. So thank you, Carol Cox. Mahalo for your experience with your sister
And I hope all is well in your life. Everybody, be happy, be well, be safe, and keep moving forward.
Absolutely.
I still didn't get that answer. Are you going to be singing?
Well, it's possible.
Oh, she has so many talents.
She has a lot of talents.
Trust me.
I just bought a book. I found a book, a beautiful book. It's a Casimira.
Yes, Celebration.
My God. And you're in there.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, she looks just like she looked in the book.
Oh, she's ageless. Trust me. She's ageless. It's
I have white hair now.
Oh, nice.
She's ageless. I mean, if no one knows the Casimira Brothers, I mean, that beautiful music. And go out and buy some albums, and then they may donate to this cause.
That would be wonderful.
We're going to reach out. When we talk about other organizations, Mr. Carroll, we'd just like to say that we're unique and we're special and we're local and we're homegrown. I cannot speak about other huge organizations because I just want Eva Lonnie's foundation to be... Absolutely, sister.
Forever, we will always be kind to you. May gentle waves wash your cares far out to sea. Because that's how we are. Mm-hmm. Come, you dreamers, and dream with me. Come on, people. Yeah. Come on down, May Day. Let's fight for breast cancer awareness.
Caller, thank you. You got a comment, a question? Hello?
He left.
Hello, Carol.
Yes.
Carol, this is Howard McGinnis, the beekeeper.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
How you doing, honey?
Two things. One, I just want to commend you on all the environmental watchdogging that you're doing. I see you're making some people aware of some issues, some issues, and I think that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, we're coming into swarm season, and I would just like to see if you'd remind people, not to spray swarms as they come in. I mean, this, I realize this is going to be off topic for your show, but
not really. This is fine. Go ahead.
So we are in swarm season. If people do see swarms, not to spray. I think that's a message that you get out every year to people, and I think it does help. We only have so many bees. If you spray, we can't do anything with them. But if you call, you can call a variety of places, including 911, HPD, HFD, the State Vector Control, University of Hawaii, the pest hotline, or if you know a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. We'll come out and take care of that.
Well, how do we contact you, Howard?
Well, you can reach me at area code 808-258-7296. I do this, I call it a public service. I remove swarms for free. As probably Oahu's only full-time beekeeper, I need bees.
Mm-hmm.
I need healthy swarms. They pollinate things. They benefit the farmers, which in turn allows the farmer to hire people, brings... it makes it a more sustainable Hawaii if we can grow our own fruits and vegetables as opposed to having them brought in, which, as you know, just increases the risk of another invasive species coming in.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to talk to you later on and get you back on the show about that.
I would love that. I have some good news to report about bees. There's a lot of concerns, but it seems like the bee scientists are making some headway, and not all is not lost. We're actually seeing an increase in the number of hives reported throughout the United States. Canada supposedly is indicating a 17% increase.
Okay. Well, like we say on the show, let them stay, don't spray.
There you go.
And we call Howard McGinnis, and we'll talk to you later on, Howard. And you are going to be there on May 1st, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all you got to do is say yes, and then
Come on, honey.
Come on, honey.
You're on the spot, brother. Okay. Well, thank you, and I'll get back with you, and we'll get you in here on the show, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks for all the hard work that you do, Carol.
Yeah. All righty.
Mr. Carol, again, for one.
All righty, Howard.
1080 a.m.
And that's, what's the honey, the company and all?
Oh, Nalumeli?
Nalumeli.
The company, yeah. But, you know, all the beekeepers in Hawaii produce fantastic, you know, products. Support your local beekeeper. We, in turn, will help keep the bees going, help keep, you know, keep us going towards a more sustainable agriculture.
Okay, Howard. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for letting me get that little message in.
All righty.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, Mr. Carl, I'd like to thank you again, but if you can, and if you have an open time, to please invite Kanoi again to talk about our May Day's Lay Day. I know it's a month out, or what, 2-6 weeks out.
Well, you pick the day and come back. And,
oh, Tootsie, would love to. Thank you.
So, yeah, just pick the day, and like I say, we call it a show. It's not
absolutely
a show.
Absolutely, and it would really help us to get the word out about breast cancer awareness, get the book out, to know that, you know, the Aloha Spirit does live.
Imagine if we comforted one person or gave them just one person experiencing this insight.
Yeah.
I don't need a thousand. Just one. If we impacted one person.
That's right.
So, you know, it's not by the thousands. It's about success. So I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us and talking about it. And anything in closing?
Well, I'd like to personally thank my sister here, because, you know, she just had less than 24 hours and less than that when you called me, and then I called her.
I'll attest to that.
And so, you know, but we make things happen. You know, we can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
When we have an opportunity to make a difference, you know that we just jump in and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you very much. And for those who are out there, we hope you've touched your heart. We hope that we educated in some way. We hope that you understand what the Ivalani's Foundation is all about. And please join us for the first Hula-thon in Hawaii.
Friday, May 1st, join us at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We'll be dancing our little tootsies off for you.
All right. And again, as you just heard, the Hula Festival, Hula-thon on May 1st at the Ward Warehouse Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
And to contact again, I know we're repetitive, it sounds like, but if I reach one person, I'm happy that I've accomplished something. www.iwalanifoundation.com. And Kanoi Kazumaru can be kazutwin@aol.com. She can be reached at 224-0767. And then we have the famous Ms. Kumuhula, Ivalani Sue. And she's at IWALANIHULA1, the number one, at hula.com.
Yahoo.com.
I'm sorry, Yahoo.com. 623-6776.
Got it.
And guys, I hope that we've reached someone out there, and if there's a young lady, a young man, or a family member that needs and don't know
call
where to turn,
need help.
Guys, call and hope you luck and everything is going to go okay. And
mahalo.
Thank you.
Mahalo, nui.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Alrighty.
Mahalo, Carol.
Alrighty. So, guys, thank you for joining in, and we got a couple more minutes, but we're going to be talking next week about some issues on environment and government waste, fraud, and abuse. And we are still working on the Maui matter. Just recently did a story on KGMB, and you can pick up that story and go to carolcox.com. I did a write-up on McGilvery and the DLNR. The title is DLNR, not a first-class agency. But there are some serious problems we have here, ladies and gentlemen, with the DLNR. The Carlton Ching nomination and that process is pale in comparison to what is really going on. I've said it, and I've heard it repeated now by others. You know that the DLNR, the chairman has say of the DLNR, of every drop of rain, water, bird, fish, plant. But there's such dysfunction, and I say dysfunction. We saw that
Carlton Ching was a test for the governor. But the reality is the real test for the governor is the assembling back and putting back the pieces of this fragmented, tattered, worn, irresponsible group or agency that we have learned to call the DLNR. I like to say do little or nothing for the resources, but that doesn't have a ring to it. But the problem with DLNR, it has all of our fate in. The Board of Land and Natural Resources have great say in what is placed on lands and what activities can occur. And they have great say on many things. And by the way, I told you about 2 weeks ago, I alerted you, that through my interviews and what have you, through the back door, I had learned that NOAA, the National Marine Fisheries Service, would be proposing to expand the sanctuary. Now, I'm all for protecting the whales and all, but I also believe that sustainable activity that prevents waste and abuse, but on the other hand, incorporate the public involved. And so private organizations have, in fact, in my opinion and based on what I'm seeing, has commandeered the actual internal workings of the DLNR. And so, therefore, imagine you having to be approved to go in and forage or gather plants for medicinal purposes, but you have to go to a nonprofit organization that has just found its way and embedded itself within the DLNR, when that is a state government set up by legislative process and guided by that, the constitution of the state and the various Hawaii revised statutes that they enforce and administrative codes. But why do we have private organizations having great influence on the DLNR? So if you think, again, that Carlton Ching was a problem for the governor is challenged. And all of you out there, just step back. Take a look at the DLNR's shifty. We see construction, developments, and all of that in places that we didn't suspect or expect. And so if you have still yet an agency that is primarily run by acting administrators, they're not permanent, a great many of them, and they're in key positions. The chairman, so that position can't just lay and just lay feral. But what happens is that Governor Ige is challenged. This is the make or break. This is about, he said that he can do the job, but in all honesty, picking the chairman of the DLNR is one thing, getting him installed is another. And placing emphasis that it must be done because there's so many activities begging and wanting to use use state resources that is governed by or regulated by or protected by the DLNR. So this is a very serious problem. And all of our water and the watershed management, all of those things and on DLNR land. And so that presents a problem. And unless this governor cleans it up, the law enforcement people, they're not adequately trained. They don't have a standard operating policy per se, post officer training, police officer standard training. But they did go in and get involved in a thing called Kaleo. And this was doing Senator or then Chairman Laura Thielen and the Castle Foundation. So we're asking questions now. Whatever happened to that? There was a discussion and bragging that there were $1 million that was going to be spent toward this effort. And to date, I can't seem to find any certification, qualification, or anything. But we did see a mass exodus to the mainland by a number of the state officers. But again, no certification on the Kalia. So we'll be asking those questions and have asked them, and we seem to be getting some progress made on the documentation. But again, when we ask for documents, I'll give you an example. I asked for the declaration. In any individual working for the DLNR, DoCare, and conservation, the policy is and the requirements are you file a notification and formal notification informing your supervisors or the agency that you have outside work outside of your law enforcement activity. And you make that declaration on a form. And I made that request back in 26 of May, of February, somewhere in there. Didn't get anything, not even a notice that they received it. But yet, it's a funny thing, all of them come in one day dated. I finally got some of the documents. And they weren't, they declared that they were working. But now we're moving to the ethics department, agency, or commission, to revisit and ask them to now investigate because they said that we didn't have any proof that they worked outside of the government. So now we do, and again, this is the whole thing, ball of wax. The DLNR is a failure, and we can't continue to allow it to operate in these conditions and be handled this way because there's so much at stake. So we'll be back next week, and hopefully, don't like to call it slamming the government. It's just hopefully pull in the coattail and get them to do the right thing. If they can do the right thing, then we'll all benefit. So take care, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.